Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to look at the testimony with reference to the family. I pray that you will give to us that wisdom that we need to understand this word and then to see how we can apply it to our lives and to our hearts. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Right? The testimony that we've seen so far, most of these things here are sort of individual reflections. It's still individual, but here the focus goes into a family. And this is something that we want to think about. And that is, it is interesting to see that this particular psalm comes from the man we call Solomon. Now that sounds almost strange, right? Because here is a person who has, you know, who's basically his family is of really questionable value at that point of time, right? So we're going to take a look at the wisdom that is there, and that's important. And this is something that is very challenging. And it's, you know, you look at it very carefully, then you think in terms of how, you know, it works out for him. And you think that, you know, you sort of, if he has got a great family or something, and the reality is he doesn't have. I mean, let's face it. See, a lot of kings in the past, they would just think they have as many wives as they can. Why? Keep offspring. They must have people who will take over. They're very concerned, very dynastic kind of thinking, right? So also because of a lot of contracts in the past, every treaty that he signs with a princess at hand sort of guarantees they won't attack you, right? So there will be, these are all peace treaties. These are marriage contracts. It's not because of all of these things here, and that becomes a real problem. And then he reflects on his life. For all the many, many wives that he had, right? He had only one son. That's it. What went wrong? Then we often think, all the plans that we have, the things can go wrong badly. When man tries to interfere with a lot of things, one-child policy and so on and so forth, look at how you'll backfire. And you won't know it till a whole generation later. Right? So China's imbalance is 40 million women extra. No, men don't have. And they are the victims. They're all desperate to get married. And 37 years old, not married, you know, they pay right up to 40,000, 50,000 US to get a bride as a bride price. Only to find out that that bride wasn't as he thought. And a lot of scams going on all the time. And they're lost. So when we talk about the Lord's involvement, it's a very serious problem that Israel had never learned this. Right? So there are all kinds of things that we want to look at, and building a family is very, very much more difficult than we imagine. Right? So there are many jokes made about families and, you know, things like that. And the famous one is about this young man who wants to get married, so he brings, you know, one girl home and ask the parents for their opinion. And it's a mother who says a lot. No good. Why? Too tall. Next one ring. Too short. Next one ring. Too fat. Next one too thin. You know, this one talks too much. This one cannot talk at all. This one, all kinds of things. And finally, he brings one home just like the mother. And the mother said, yes. And the father would say, no. So we often imagine that, you know, having a family is straightforward and is easy. It's not. Right? It's a very difficult problem. We all don't know what it is. And so it's a very, very big challenge. Girlfriend material, wife material, not the same. What may appear to be good girlfriend material or boyfriend material, not necessarily wife material, you know. Then you have to think about it, how? And we often think that, you know, it's okay, I'll be all right. A lot of marriages fail. Or at least, you know, maybe we won't end up in the courts, but they fail anyway for so many reasons. Well, Israel's families, many failed. Seriously. Right? And the failure was what made the family stronger for the next generation. Right? Now, this is very important. We often think that children will all grow up nicely, they'll be all right, they'll fall in love, and everything is clockwork. You imagine so. And the answer is, you don't know what could happen. Right? We often think that it's going to be there. This is why these words of wisdom are going to be very, very important. Now, Solomon does not write from a standpoint of success. Right? Now, this is, we read 1 Kings 11, just give you an idea of what he wrote. And sometimes, some of the Psalms, like this one, is written out of sadness, out of, you know, the begin realization. It is wisdom that comes out that we must take look at. But not necessarily because he was the best example. Right? So let's take a look at 1 Kings chapter 11. Yeah, this is very important. Okay? And so in 1 Kings 11, we read, but King Solomon, the word is big but, right? Loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Sidonians, the Hittites. These were all the old enemies of Israel. And he thinks, well, let's get married to all of them so that then they won't fight. Right? Man-made ideas. And that's what we... From the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them. Right? Nor they with you. They will turn away your hearts after their gods. That was the first word. Marry well. How? Let's begin with faith. You know, sometimes we just think, never mind, it's all right. Never mind, it's all right. Anything, anybody will do. Right? The old Chinese saying, bo he hei was so good. You know, the fish, prawns are so good. Hey, but prawns are more costly than fish. No, we keep on thinking that that's anything will do. You got to be kidding. You see, that's how the Lord builds a house. But, and that becomes a real problem in time to come. And then, so that's the first problem. Okay, you shall not marry. But this is deliberate. Secondly, Solomon clinged to these in love. Right? And he, and he had 700 wives and princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned his heart. I really wonder whether he knew all of them by name. Seriously, how do you know 1,000 people by name anyway? You got to be kidding, right? So you sort of, what? You can't even tell them between a Moabite and a Hittite and an Ammonite and a Sidonian. How do you even tell them apart? I think this is a real big problem. And we read the word, and he loved them. And this becomes a real problem. All right. For it was so when Solomon was old. That's where it begins. You don't know what it's like when you are young and you feel that you are in love and this is a, and when you grow old, that's where the problems start. Let's face it, that's where the problems really, really start. And his heart, watch this, they turn away his heart after other God. This was what the Lord warned. Right? And so this is very important. They will turn away your hearts after their gods. And so we read, it was fulfilled. Okay? When Solomon was old, that his heart, that his wife turned his heart after other God. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. And you read this in Psalm 16. David refused to talk about any other gods, as it were. Right? And this is, was only one God as far as he was concerned. And so after, you know, we read, so we went after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, right? So this is where we go. And then did evil in the sight of the Lord. did not fully follow the Lord, not like Joshua and Caleb, right? As did his father David. So he built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. That one is child sacrifice. Right? If you want to win a war, you want to get greater wealth, sacrifice a child. What is this all about? And, you know, is this not for the king? The problem is other people follow. So it began to affect the whole nation. Now, this was something that was written. And then to Molech, oh, this is bad. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. Right? So you can imagine how the wives would work on Solomon. And they're whining, screaming, pleading, cajoling. And all right, now, where you a temple? And off he would go and he would build them. You can imagine 1,000. You know, you after a while you get fed up of. It's easier to build a temple than to hear the voices and the, and it becomes a real problem. Now, what on earth is wrong with him? And so we read. So the Lord became angry with Solomon, because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel. And look at God had appeared to him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, you know, in particular. That he should not go after a gods that he did not, and unfortunately, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, and you have not kept my covenants and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. I will not do it in your days, for the sake of your father David. Right? Now, this is very important. David's role was important. For the sake of David, I will not tear the kingdom in your days. But after your death, the kingdom will be gone. And the kingdom will split from north to south forever. They never reconciled. That's a real problem. Right? And so this was a really big thing. And so I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give you one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David. Right? For the sake of David. For the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Now, you see, two people or two groups. One David, one Jerusalem. Right? So this is a very big thing that we want to. And then, of course, the Lord not raise up adversaries against Solomon. All the things that he thought. So Hadad, the Edomite, see, he was thinking, oh, let's have a treaty with Edomites. Then they'll be all right. Not true. They came back and attacked him anyway. Right? Pawns, the daughters were like pawns all day. Frankly, the fathers don't care very much one way or the other. All right? So there we go. And a lot of these things here, and there we go. Look, a whole list of other things. And this was what happened. So when you look at 1 Kings 11, then you begin to realize where the danger really lies. Right? So this particular Psalm 127 was written out of literally in wisdom, but in anguish. It was not written because he was successful. It was written because it was born out of bitter failure on his part. Right? So he couldn't even hold his kingdom for one generation. The next generation, it was gone. Just like that. What a shame. All the wisdom, all the wealth, all those things, you know, can they actually go away? Yes. Seriously, you look at all these things here. We begin to realize it's a very, very serious problem. That's why he wrote, and this, we wrote about these things here, and we knew, unless the Lord builds the house. And this is something else we want to teach our children, right? Don't object to our children unnecessarily. Seriously, we give to them and we teach them, if nothing else, how important it is to talk about the Lord building the home. And a lot of people have not built their home. And so what happens when the Lord does not build a home? They think that they're okay. Well, they will labor, yes. They will labor in vain. How do you know it will be built? How strong do you know it will be built? You won't know till the evening years of life what will happen. Solomon didn't understand this. His own personal plans, his own personal wisdom, and all his wealth, you know, every marriage contract makes him wealthier. So you imagine, right, how much wealth he actually possessed because of all of these things here, because of contract. For what? Seriously. And this is where the real problems began. Okay, so they labor in vain, unless, key word, unless the Lord guards the city. The watchman will watch in vain. You can watch. You can do whatever you think you can do. The reality is you can't help it. You cannot literally build a home and guard it on your own strength unless we involve the Lord. Now, this is very important. A lot of times we just can't understand this. I mean, we have all kinds of things here. Very often when our children grow up, we sort of leave them alone. We sort of cannot get involved. Mistake, not true. We're going to create that problem one day. They need that wisdom. They need that experience. They need the insight. You've got to say, you know, give words of wisdom and advice. Help them build their home. And I don't mean, you know, just in terms of giving them money or buy them a house. That's not what I mean. But you could teach them. The Lord will help you build your house. The key word is build. And this is important. What if you don't? Right? This is important for us. In the ancient, your old days, when would they know a son is ready to get married? It's an old custom in some places. So the father will say to the son, you think you are getting married? You are ready for marriage? Good. Build a home first. Literally, build your home first. All right? I will come and check whether your home is really good or no good. And if you can build your home on your own, perhaps you are then ready. And so, there's an old practice, right? Build your home. Show me. And then they will come along, and then they will check, and they say, okay, you've built a good home. Now you can are ready to go and have a family, to have a wife. The fathers were involved in those days. I mean, seriously, who was the one who chose Isaac's wife? It was Abraham. Right? They don't have dating devices in those days. So what do they have? And all those places of dating devices, people, many realize that those things are very often traps. And you're going to get caught. And the danger is very real. I'm not saying that you it's wrong or it's bad. It's just that you just need to be extra careful about a lot of things. Right? So there are lots of these things which happen. And we have to ask ourselves, is the Lord helping them to build a home? The key word involves the Lord. Not just in the building, but in the guarding. A lot of people don't realize it. What if you cannot build well? Let's say even if you build well, are you guarding well? A lot of people, after they get married, after a few years, it's okay, it's all over. Right? So you ask an old fisherman, you know, this was interviewing the old fisherman. We're interviewing many people. So we ask a fisherman, are you good to your wife? You say, yeah. Well, what are the things that you do for your wife? He says, nothing. Then he asks him, why? He says, when a fisherman wants to fish, he put some bait. After he's got the fish, you think he still feed the fish? That was his philosophy. There was another old man who was asked, what do you think about your having a wife and all that? When was the last time you said you loved her? About 40 years ago. Really? He said, why? I told her. If I stop loving her, I'll tell her. That's it. I mean, you get all kinds of advice out there, and this is very important. And so sometimes, you know, almost typical American jokes, right? What was your best Christmas? That year when my mother-in-law didn't come. I mean, you have all kinds of jokes about all kinds of things, and this is all there. We are not serious, by the way. Key word, even for Christian families, we don't know how to literally get people to build the Lord, to build the home. I mean, how does the Lord actually build the home anyway? But this is something to think about. But first, we want to talk about involving the Lord. And if we don't involve the Lord on things like that, to build a house, what do we have? This is why we are so strong on building. I get all kinds of invitations. Just this week, just a few days ago, someone wrote to me, and I thought it was Chi Wei. It was same name, but it's the wrong surname. And the person wrote, he said, can you marry my good friend? My good friend is going to get married. This will be just a small wedding over in a hotel somewhere in town, and it will be on a Sunday. So he says, we've heard your messages, and we think that you'll be a good person to see, officiating is not the same as building. So I said, no, I really don't. I don't marry people for the sake of marrying, for officiating purposes. I don't. Because if I cannot teach the family how to build the home on principles, and even if you want to try to teach them, and if they're not going to listen, very frankly, you can still get married at the end of it all. How strong is that household? Two parts, build. Second part, God. And the Lord is involved in both. And if he is going to be there, if he does not build, now, he could be there in presence, right? But if he does not build, he does not guard. How strong do you think the family will be? Right? Yes, they can be married. Yes, they can have children. Yes, they can have a lot of things that are going on in life. Everybody wish them well, happy, you know, wishing you the best, wishing you happiness and everything else. But in reality, you won't see the reality till years later. Get involved, right? Be positive. Help them build a home. Let them build. Help, ask the Lord to build a house. Guard the house. And if he doesn't get involved, we've got a problem. Right? So we have human effort. Right? Vain for you to rise up early, sit up late. This is the typical, sometimes you see the poor man, he works like this. Right? He gets up early, he sits up late, meaning he works from morning to night. You know, I hear 60% Singaporeans got second job to provide for the family. It's going to be a very tough thing. I don't know what they are providing for. Yeah, but, you know, if anyone who has to work very hard, it will be Solomon. To feed 1,000 to feed 1,000 women in his family and to provide temples for all of them. I mean, the whole place will be filled with nothing but temples. Every street will be filled with, you know, from the beginning of the road, temple, and the end of the road, another temple. Every street will be filled. I can imagine what it was like. And this is how Jerusalem began to fall. The city was no longer guarded by the Lord. It's gone. And that's where we are, right? So then people work very hard. I'm eating the bread of sorrow. Right? Why? I work very hard from morning till night, and I eat the bread of sorrow, never mind for the sake of the family. Right? You think the children actually appreciate all this? They don't. They don't understand this. And this becomes a real challenge. So all the effort we put in, every bit of work we put in, you ask yourself, what if they don't know how to appreciate all of these things? And they don't. They won't. It's not inbuilt. It's not just going to be there automatically. The Lord has to be there. And this is important. Right? And so unless the Lord builds, it's one. You know, and unless the Lord guards. Right? So this is the family part, the starting point. right? Involvement of the Lord. Now, here's the second part, and it's important. Now, this is where children come in. Now, is it possible that sometimes you don't have children? Answer, yes. Right? Is it true that sometimes things happen when children pass on earlier? Yes. I think we all understand that kind of thing here. And sometimes the grief is very deep and very painful. So when we talk about children here, we're not talking about how long the children would live, but we're going to talking about one particular kind of children that are going to be blessed, right? So children are a heritage from the Lord. That's going to be important. See, this is where the Lord's involvement is now assumed. The Lord is building, the Lord is guarding. Now the children will become a heritage, right? Not just children by itself, but children are a heritage when the Lord is building your home, guarding your city, and the Lord gives the children as a heritage, right? Because now we're going to look at the kind of children we have, right? This is very important. This is his reward, okay? Now, they are compared to arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, that's going to be important. Now, arrows are not very often assumed that we, you know, all types of wood equals arrows. No. Right? So, you know, I'm an old Robin Hood fan. So when I was reading about Robin Hood as a child, you know, I wanted to find out what kind of wood he used, what kind of string he had, how does he maintain it, how does he choose it, particularly what kind of arrows were they made of. Then I read that it came from one particular tree called the yew tree, Y-E-W. Now, so it's interesting. It's a why? Because this particular tree will yield the kind of arrow that will first fly straight. Now, if the arrow wobbles, it's a useless arrow, right? Two, it must be able to go a long distance. Three, it will not shatter on impact. So he would literally search for only one particular thing there. It's like a Lone Ranger and a silver bullet, right? It must be silver because it is, one, representing justice. Two, it will fly straight and true. And he is known by his silver bullet. Same here. In this case here, the arrows, okay? The very arrows in the hand of a warrior. So there we go. So the children become, as it were, warriors. And they are not afraid, right? So they are going to be there, and they're going to be, that's going to be important, right? So this was a really big test. What kind of children would they become? Right? If truly heritage, truly fruit, then they will be warriors, right? Now, if they are not, I think we are going to be a real problem. I think the sad reality is that the most powerful person in the family is not the man who wears the pants in the house. It's the little old lady who's there. And this little old lady has got far more power than is realized, because she is going to influence. That's why they say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Right? And if that influence is not going to be very, very strong, we have a real problem. Right? So there it is, invisibly. Although we talk about the man all the time, actually here, it's a touch of it that's important. All right? The fruit of the womb is a reward. Right? Now, what is the reward? That the children here, all right, this is very important here. They all talk about male children at this point of time, but there we go. Okay? The children of one's youth. So we take a look at what they will become, warriors. Now, what kind of warriors? Now, this is important. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. Right? So nowadays, we look at one or two children or three children, they say, wow, you got a handful. A quiver is not one or two or three. It's a whole full quiver, a lot of children. Nowadays, in the past, 6-7 children is very common, right? In Myanmar, 9 children, 10 children, 9, 7 children. Why are your family so small? I mean, they've got a lot of children, But unfortunately, not all of them survive. And so that's how it was in the past. Right? So happy is a man who is given full of them. Okay? Now, what is this about them that is special? They shall not be ashamed. Right? So they're not afraid of anybody. Why? Okay? But when their enemies are in the gates, what is the first reaction of the warrior? He will face them for their parents. That's the kind of children they have. Right? If the parents are in need, I'm going to be there for them. Are there enemies? I'm going to be there for them. Now, this will be a test of children who are of the Lord. All right? The first concern, and this is absolutely important, to care for their own families. Right? Now, many people misread Genesis 3 context. For this reason, a man will leave father and mother to cleave to his wife. They say, okay, now I cleave to my wife, and then I don't care for my parents anymore. That's a misreading and a misapplication of that text. That's not what it means. Right? Now, it means that you have matured enough. You don't need to, you know, go back to see mama again. Every little thing, I miss mama's cooking. I miss everything. Always mama, all the time. Now, that's what it is. You grow up. No need. Right? Now, this is very, very good. Even if it means getting burnt offerings all the time. So one man was saying to his friends, you know, my wife really worships me. He said, how you know your wife worships you? He said, every day I have evidence, right? Every day, burnt offerings, every day. So that's what it is, right? So this is how it works. And there's one cartoon called Hagar the Horrible. Anybody familiar with that? It's an old one. It's a Norwegian, it's actually a British thing here. It's a very Norwegian thing, you know, Viking. So the wife, you know, tries to bring up the daughter and to cook and all that. So she said to the husband, Hagar, and says, you know, today the food is come from our daughter. Her name is called Honey. And so he tries to best, and he said, you know, oh, it's very good, very nice. He said, the mother said, I taught him all my skills. I taught her all my skills. I passed it on to her. So the old man said to him, what is this crunchy thing? I bite it, it's very crunchy. Oh, mashed potato. How does mashed potato become crunchy? You know, a lot of times we think in terms. So when a person has grown up old enough and you begin to cling to the wife, it does not mean an abandonment of parents. Unfortunately, it is often taken to be that way. It literally means you're old enough, mature enough to set up your own home. That's it. That does it mean that you don't care about your parents anymore? Far from it. That honor your father and your mother will be for the rest of your life. Right? We got to teach them things like that so that they will understand what it means. You know, I am always very, very moved and very touched. When I go to hospital, I mean, literally almost every week. And one of the things that I really, really like when I see is when you have an old mother or you have an old man. And so very often now I see maids, right? But some of the people don't have them. And I'll see daughters or even sons. And, you know, the ones that are most touching are the sons who will take care of their mothers, old fathers, because they have no idea how to do the apps, they have no idea how to talk to the people, and they are uneducated. And the ones who do every single them, but the devoted children. Unfortunately, they are very few, they are very rare nowadays. Right? So from time to time, sometimes you read about, you know, here is an old a Chinese young man, and they live up in the mountains, and they have to bring the mother down to the city to go and see a doctor. And you see a testimony of and how he would actually carry the frail old mother. She's already very small, very thin, very weak. Carries her on his back, come down the mountain slope, walk all the way down to the city, literally the whole day through, he'll be there with her and then bring her all the way back to care for the mother. Well, how? Why would he do that? And so they said, that's my mother, of course. Now, these are values we seldom know how to pass to our children anymore. All we give them are toys, happy vacations, give them good advice here and there. But we are not teaching them how to build the house of the Lord with the Lord's involvement. Right? Now, this is where it begins, and we want to do everything we can. Right? For those of us who are already old and we are, look, unfortunately, we don't have very much of a chance to redo our life, to relive our life. Right? But we've got our children. Let's give them every chance to succeed. Right? This is very important. And we do everything we possibly can to help them. Now, this is very important for us to understand and appreciate. They're not the same. Right? So these are things that you want to think about. You know, there was one Greek family, you know, the Greeks' way of actually bringing up children. Right? Now, very much also very Chinese. Give them as much as possible to provide for a future for them. Right? This is our philosophy almost. This is a very Greek way of doing it. So this Greek person actually migrated over to Canada. Right? And then they found that the Canadian culture was very different. They have got summer camps. At 70 years old, they go to summer camp 2 weeks. And down there, no internet, no electricity, nothing. You could live in a raft for 2 whole weeks. No contact with the parents unless on emergency. So the grandfather asked him, are you sure you want to do that? It's very costly to send them to summer camps. The cheapest ones are $500 a week. Right? The more expensive one are $2,500 a week. Why would you want to pay that? He said, look, he can stay in my farm free. I just give him a tent, let him rough it out. He said, no. Then they will learn. Learn how to make campfires, learn how to live on humble things, learn how to do nature, learn how to, do wood carving, whatever it is. For 2 whole weeks, they rough it out, 7 years old. It's a different culture. There, you're on your own. There, you learn how to be rugged. You learn how not to be dependent upon your parents to do everything for you. Right? And you see this, 2 different cultures entirely. This Jewish way, unfortunately, was learned the hard way. And this is a real, real challenge. So many, many of the sages of the Jewish people, the Jewish sages, one was called Maimonides. And he had a tremendous influence over old Israel, the longest time. And his first rule as he teaches them, is that they must. Right? They call it, they explain the idea of charity. He says, what is the first rule of charity? And the first rule of charity is that you learn to care for those in your family who are in need. Right? Let's not talk about other people for a while, but let's talk about first and foremost, have you fulfilled? This is 1 Timothy 5:2. Right? If a person is a Christian, he does not know how to care for his own. Now, this could be a real problem. It's a sad reality we all face. You know, as we grow older, you begin to realize, how are you going to have the depend upon the children? Most of us, we don't. We have to realize you're going to be on your own. You've got to be as fit and as possible, as strong as you possibly can, because it's going to be very hard to depend upon your children. Right now, they still love you. You're not yet married. The moment they get married, the wife will say, hey, why you give so much time? Yeah, it becomes a real problem. And the challenges will begin. And the test will be there. So one, build. Two, God. The Lord is there, will be there. And the third part of it is that the blessing will now carry on to the next generation. Right? So it's not a straightforward thing. So most of us who don't have these principles in the past, now we have to live with the present reality. What do we do? Is it too late? Frankly, Never use the word too late, simply because of the fact that it will be harder, yes. It will be a bit more painful, yes. And sometimes it is almost agony. Right? Now, this is very important. That's why a lot of people, you know, in other countries, why bother with children? Buy a cat. Own a cat. This is happening in Japan right now. Right? It's happening in Korea. Why? And in Singapore, it is now literally almost a $1 billion business. Because, you know, going to see a vet is just as expensive, in fact, more expensive than you see a doctor out there. They are very, very costly. And they've got all kinds of things already. And it's not a cheap thing to have. Right? But we look at, and to them, it's so easy. Right? So if you just feed the cat or the dog, you know, as you can, take time and that's it, no trouble. They're not going to whine, they're not going to complain, they're not going to all kinds of things here, and so they're the best. No, they're not. They're there and they are important. But here is life, human. This is family. Right? Unfortunately, many of these lessons are learned hindsight. We look backwards and we realize, wow, that's true. Right? For those of us who did not have a great background with our parents and all that, what do? Don't live in the past. So we don't have a great background. So what? It doesn't mean you can't have a good life. But you build your home. Letting one, involve the Lord. Let him build. Two, let him guard. Right? Let him bless. And this is very, very important for us to think about it. Right? And then you will see the children as a heritage. But remember, you can see them as a heritage up to a point, depending on how they grow up. And at one point in life or the other, they will choose. And unfortunately, you can't affect their choices because they have already grown up. When they are children, they are still what we call malleable, still plastic. You can still shape them. But there will come a time when they are no longer malleable, no longer plastic, then that opportunity to influence them is now over. That's a reality. You can't tell children who are grown up to do what you want them to do. They won't. You have given them so much freedom to the point when they've already made up their minds, not for me. You can't touch them. They won't give up their rights now. And that is a reality. So this particular psalm is painful, and yet at the same time, is hopeful, right? This is important. So let's do whatever we can. It's not just a matter of getting married. It's not a matter of having children. It's a question of what kind of home. Is the Lord building? Is the Lord guarding? Is the Lord blessing? And if these things are not there, then we are going to have a lot of problems in time to come. But can we still be happy where we are? Yes. Can we still be, seriously consider ourselves blessed by the Lord? Yes. Despite don't have this, that, or the other. Answer, yes. I mean, this is something that we all want to understand and appreciate. Right? So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I've got a lot of challenges with health challenges and all that. But, you know, you think about it. You still have life. And I will be speaking about this whole idea of how Caleb testified that the Lord has preserved him alive. The Lord's there to preserve us. What do we do with this life that the Lord has preserved? We could have died, but no, the Lord has preserved us. So how do we relate to the Lord? How do we live this life that the Lord has preserved for us? Now, that is the challenge of it all. So we go back to Joshua 14 one more time. And the next Sunday, one last thing, give me this vision. That there's something to, can we still live this way? Yes. Right? Now, this is very important. So I know of a man who, you know, he was from the West, and he was from the U.S. So one day, I met him in a meeting that was there, and he was asked to give his testimony. So he said that you know, he had separated from his wife and his children don't care about him. Nobody cares about him. So he said, but you know what? I still have a life to live. So what do you do? He said, well, nobody respects what I do. Nobody cares about what I do. He says, I bought a boat. And he's a sailor. So he sails from port to port. And he says, I sail from port to port. What is my mission? He says, I carry a lot of Bibles. I go to places where they don't have Bibles. And there I go and give them Bibles and talk to them about God and all. He says, I'm alone. Yeah, but I still have something to live for. I have the Lord to live for. And I buy my own boat. I'm not sponsored by anybody. I have enough money to survive. So I can buy my own boat. I can pay my own way. I don't need people to support me. So I'm using my boat and using my resources to sustain me all my life. And I will have enough to live until I die. And this is what I want to do. So life is not over. You never know what you can do. And I'm not suggesting you go and buy a boat to do the same thing. I'm suggesting is that you have your life. Live it. Live it well. Don't let anything bog you down, even if there are problems and difficulties and challenges in a family. There are other things we can do with our life. Do it. Do them. Whatever the Lord has given to us. Well, that's going to be the focus of this message this morning. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that though we sometimes come from dysfunctional families, there is yet hope and meaning and purpose in all that we do. Help us to find our focus, to find a purpose in all the things we can still do. Help us to live well for you. We pray that you make our life count for you, make it fruitful in every sense of the word. And continue to bless our families. We bring them before you, asking you for grace and for mercy, for the children will learn how to love you, learn how to honor their parents, learn basic things of life. We pray for your blessings and your mercies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.